Welcome everybody to our special Tisha B'Av presentation for Yeshiva University. Thank Rabbi Weinstein and Yeshiva University for asking me to speak. I hope my parents are joining as well as my in-laws. So brishus, my parents and my in-laws who are joining us. Today is Tisha B'Av. Today is the most calamitous day in the Jewish calendar year. Rav Soloveitchik says that Tisha B'Av is a day that is saturated with bitterness. In fact, Tisha B'Av is not a date, it's a destiny. I read that before, I don't recall. I saw it again this morning in his commentary to the Kinos. What a powerful line. Tisha B'Av is not a date, it's a destiny. In correspondence between Rabbanim, Tisha B'Av is often referred to as Hayom Hamar V'Hanimhar, the bitter day which is saturated with bitterness. Both Mar and Nimhar mean bitter. But this phrase should be translated as a bitter day, saturated, endowed with bitterness. The pasuk tells us in Koheles, and here I'm going to screen share so you could see on the source sheet that I prepared for you. The pasuk tells us in Koheles, Perek Zayin, pasuk Dalet, Leiv Chachamim Beveis Evel. The heart of the wise person, the heart of the Chacham, is in the house of mourning. The Leiv Kisilim Beveis Simcha. And the heart of the fool is in the house of rejoicing. What does this mean? The heart of the wise hangs out in the house of Avelos, and the heart of the fool frequents a house of Simcha. So look at Targum to Koheles, and the Targum tells us, unbelievably, let's read it in the Aramaic, and we will translate. Lipon dechakimaya anan al churban beis mukdasha. The heart of the wise person mourns over the destruction of the temple. The atzev al galus beis Yisrael. And the heart of the wise person is sad, is despondent over the exile of the house of Israel. However, the lave shataya, the lave of the shota, the lave of the fool, bechadvas beis litznasohom, is in the house of litznas, the heart of the fool, the shota, hangs out in the house of litznas, of mockery, of laughter. Achlin, they eat, v'shasan, they drink, umispankin, they have fine delicacies, v'lo yisvun ali bahon, they do not internalize it in their heart, siguf acheihom, the affliction of their brothers. How do we understand this? That the heart of the wise person frequents the house of Avelos and the heart of the foolish person frequents the house of Simcha. So the Targum Onkelos means to be wise, means to mourn, to weep, to understand what it means, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It means to be sad over the galus of Beis Yisrael. Whereas the Shota sits in the house of laughter and rejoicing, where he eats and drinks, partakes of fine delicacies, and does not pay any attention to the affliction of his brothers. The Mishnah, the Gemara famously tells us, Chazal famously tells us in Maseches Tainis, Lamed Amid Beis, call him Is Abel al Yerushalayim Zocha Vero Ebesim Chasa. So this is typically the way we end at Tisha B'Av Shir. And what we say at the end is that anyone who mourns over Jerusalem will merit to see her rejoicing, will merit to see her rebuilding. We usually end with this bracha. After we expound upon verses from Eicha, after we reflect upon our mourning, we say that whoever mourns will merit to see her rejoicing. But I heard Rabbi Zev Lef, I was listening to his introduction to Kinos last year, from Tisha B'Av last year, and he gave an alternative interpretation of this Mamar Chazal. Kol hamis abel al Yerushalayim zocha v'ro ebesim chasal. So Rabbi Zev Lef from B'Sham Matis Yahu and Eretz Yisrael said as follows. To be ro'ed does not only mean to see. It doesn't only mean to see, it means to perceive. It means to understand. It means to gain wisdom, understanding, assess the situation. Kol hamis abel al Yerushalayim, whoever properly mourns over the fate of what has happened to Jerusalem, zocha will merit v'ro'eh, to understand, to perceive b'simchasa, how much joy there was when she stood. How hard is it to mourn over something that occurred almost 2,000 years ago? A tragic event. Do we understand the ramifications of the destruction of the temple? The ramifications of Shu'alim Hilchubo, foxes prowl there. The ramifications of not having a sovereign Jewish commonwealth. Ramifications of wandering from country to country, city to city, state to state. Matzah Menoach, Yashva Bein Agayim. We read in Eicha that we found no rest. We move from place to place, from country to country, from nation to nation, from language to language. Kol hamis abel al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns over what has happened to Jerusalem, zocha, will merit v'ro'eh, to understand, to perceive, to contemplate, to internalize. B'simchasa, how beautiful she was when she stood, how great the joy was when there was a temple when there was a Jewish king, when there was a commonwealth, when we had a sovereign state in our own territory. And therefore, Leiv Chachamim Bebeis Evel, Libhon Dechakimaya Anana Churban Beis Mikdasha. The heart of the wise person mourns over the destruction of the Beis Mikdash, weeps, is sad over the exile of Beis Yisrael, whereas the heart of the Shota sits in the house of Eitzanus, eating and drinking, and does not internalize what the tragedy is. Rabbi Zev Lef gave a very powerful mashal, unbelievably powerful mashal. Said you have a chaplain who worked in the prison system, and he would go around being mechazik, if you will, different prisoners who are committed for different crimes. And one day on his chaplaincy route in a certain prison, he comes to one cell and he raps on the bars. And in the cell, there's a prisoner lying on a bed. The cell is teeny, teeny. There's a bed, metal bed with a thin mattress. There's a toilet in the corner, no division. There's one sink. There's barely enough room to move around. The prisoner's reading a book. And the chaplain says to the prisoner, can I help you with anything? The prisoner says, no, thank you. The chaplain says, do you want visits from your family? Maybe I can help your girlfriend come to see you. Is the food okay? Do you have any theological questions? You think about repentance for your sin? Do you want to unburden yourself? You can cry on my shoulder. The prisoner says, no, everything's wonderful. Thank you. It's great. The chaplain says, it's great. You're in prison. The prisoner says, I'm living the American dream. The chaplain says, you're living the American dream. The prisoner says, it's wonderful here. I have 3 meals a day. I don't have to work for my food. I don't have to pay for the food. I don't have to shop for the food. I don't have to cook the food. They bring it to me on a tray. There's a gym. Twice a week, they let me go to the gym. I don't have to pay to go to the gym. There's a library. I can take out books. I never had it so good. I'm living the American dream. It's a mashal. I heard from Rabbi Zev Lef, Shlita. That fool, he doesn't even know how good it could be. He doesn't remember what life was like on the outside. He doesn't know what Geula is. He thinks it can't possibly be better than this. It's so wonderful. And Golos, we're living the American dream. He doesn't remember how it was to be sovereign, how it was to be independent, how it was to have room to move around, to make your own decisions. That's galus. Leiv chachamim beveis evel. A discerning person contemplates what exile means, what destruction means. Takes the time to think about, observe, mourn. And therefore, said Rabbi Lef, kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim. Whoever mourns for what has happened to Jerusalem, Zochevero El will merit to perceive Simchasa, how great she was when she stood, when we were independent, before BDS. And the left, and those who want to destroy us in our own country, no. Zochevero El B'Simchasa, who will understand how great it was when we had her. And then we will properly mourn. And then perhaps we will realize that we are not living any dream. And perhaps then we will be zocha to see Simchasa when she is rebuilt. The pasuk tells us in Echa, which we read last night, Echa, Perak Aleph, pasuk Tesvav, Sila kol abirai, Hashem bikirbi. The Lord has trampled all the mighty men in my midst. Kara alai moed lishbar bachurai. The Ribbono Shel Olam has called against me an appointed time to smash my young men. Moed is a time to meet with God, says Rav Shem Shem Fal Hirsch. And that's why the Chagim are known as Mo'adim. They're appointed times, festivals to meet with God. And here the Ribbono Shel Olam has made an appointed time to smash our young men. Gast darach Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam trampled upon the winepress, the Besulas Bas Yehuda, the virgin daughter of Yehuda. Medrash Echa Rabba 144 comments on this pasuk and teaches us, Medrash Echa Rabba 144 teaches us upon this pasuk, Echa 115, that the death of young men is as calamitous is as tragic as the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. From the juxtaposition in this pasuk of two different phrases, Kara alai moed l'shbar bachurai, the Ribbono Shel Olam has called upon me an appointed time to smash, to destroy my young men. Gas darach Hashem l'besulas bas Yehuda, God trampled upon the winepress, which, the Midrash says, refers to the Beis Hamikdash, like a virgin daughter of Yehuda. So the juxtaposition of God trampling upon the Beis Hamikdash, juxtaposed with trampling upon the young men, teaches us, says the Midrash, that the destruction of young men, of Jewish lives, is as tragic, is as horrible, is as fateful. Tisha B'Av is not a day, says the Rav. It's a destiny. The destruction of our young men is as terrible as the destruction of the Beit Hamikdash. I will quote from Out of the Depths by Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, Shlita. And he recalls upon liberation, quote, if you have the book and you want to know where I'm quoting from, it's page 68 through 69. I also remember the American soldiers entering the camp gates. Later, I learned they were part of the 6th Armored Division of General George S. Payne's 3rd Army. I recall their expression when they caught the sight of the faces of the Muslimmen, or gaunt survivors as scarecrows in their striped uniforms, their emaciated bodies, rivers of blood from those who were caught in the hailstorm of bullets. But their remaining ammunition, the departing Germans, had shot everyone in their path. I saw the American soldiers freeze in place, shocked into silence. I, too, a young boy, was petrified of the new army that had entered the camp gates. I did not know whether they were for us or against us. So I hid behind a pile of bodies. The chaplain of the U.S. Third Army was Rabbi Herschel Schachter, who later became chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. In full army uniform, Rabbi Schachter got down from his jeep and he stood before the pile of bodies. Many of them were still bleeding. Some groaned in pain. Suddenly, he saw a pair of eyes, wide open and alive. He panicked. With a soldier's instinct, he drew his pistol. Slowly, carefully, he began to circle the pile of bodies. And then, and this I recall clearly, says Rabbi Lau, he bumped into me, a little boy, staring at him from behind the mound of corpses, wide-eyed. His face revealed his astonishment. In the midst of this killing field, in the sea of blood, a child appears. I did not move. Rabbi Schachter knew that no child in this place was anything but Jewish. He holstered his pistol. He grabbed me with both hands. He caught me in a fatherly embrace. He lifted me in his arms and in Yiddish with a heavy American accent. He said to me, "We alt bist du, mein Kind. How old are you, my boy?" I saw tears dripping from his eyes. And through force of habit, I answered cautiously, like someone perpetually on guard. "What difference does it make," I said, "how old I am? At any rate, I am older than you." He smiled at me from behind his tears and he says, "Why do you think you are older than I am?" Without hesitation, I replied, "Because you laugh and cry like a child. And I have not laughed for a long time. I cannot even cry anymore. So which of us is older?" Kara alai mo'ed l'shbar bachurai. He called against me, God, an appointed time. Instead of a festival, when we were olal regal, it was an appointed time to smash l'shbar bachurai, to smash my young men. And the Midrash says that the breaking of our young men is as horrific, if not worse, than that of the destruction of the temple. Pasuk tells us, al eila ani bochia, you can see it on my screen, over these I cry. Eini, eini, yardamayim, my eye runs with tears. Ki rachak mimeni menache, a comforter is so far from me. Meshiv nafshi, there is no one to restore my soul. Hayu banai shomemim, ki gavar oyev. My children have become desolate. They've been led into captivity. They are no longer here, Yerushalayim and Sion laments. Ki gavar oyev, the enemy has prevailed. Look at this Medrash, Medrash Eicha Rabbah 145. On the words, al eila ani bochia, over these I cry. I'm screen sharing with you. You can all see it in front of you. Al eila ani bochia, over these I cry. So the Medrash tells us, Aspas Yonus Mile Shalosh Sfinos Migdole Yerushalayim Lohoshivan Bekolan Shalomi. Vespasian filled three ships with young boys and young girls, the greatest of Jerusalem, to bring them to the Roman brothels for immoral purposes. Amdu, they're on the ships, and they're taken into captivity after the Chorban, these ships of children. Amdu va'amru, they stood up and they said, Lo dayenu shehich asnuhu b'mikdasho. It's not enough that we angered God by committing sins while we were still in his holy place. Ela af b'chutzal ha'aretz. It's not bad enough that we angered him in Yerushalayim and Sion or Har Bayis and the Jewish Commonwealth and Eretz Yisrael. But even into Chutz Arts are taking us for immorality. Even there we will have to be immoral. Amru l'nashim, so they said to the girls on the ship, Mivakshos atun dekach, are you agreeable to this? You are being taken to forced into relations that you don't want to be forced to do. Amru lehen lav, the woman said no. Amru, the men said, the boys said, Masha darkon dekach einon rotzos. If the way of these ones is not willing to be forced into relations in the natural matter, anu alachas kama v'kama. We certainly, in Artskor Medrash explains, the boys were saying, we will not be forced into sodomy. They were taking the girls for purposes and boys for purposes to put them into the Roman brothels. Imru, Amru, so they said, im mashlichim anu atzmenu l'yam, anu baim l'chaya olam haba. Kara'o ma'lai mo'ed l'shpar bachurai. You have these basulos, and these bachurim on these three ships being taken to Rome by Vespasian. Try and imagine what we're talking about. It's impossible for us. We're living the American dream. Who can imagine such things? Do you think if we jump overboard, we will come to the eternal world of truth? Miyad heyer kosh baruch v'seneim, God enlightened them. He opened their eyes. With the pasuk, Amar Hashem mi bashan ashiv. Ashiv mi metzulos yam. God said, from the bashan I will return them. I will return them from the depths. Pasuk from Tehillim. Mi bashan ashiv mi bnei shinei arayos. Even if they're caught between the teeth of lions, I will return them. Ashiv mi metzulos yam. I will return them from the depths of the seas. Kemashmo, like it sounds. They were promised life in the eternal world of truth. Amda kat rishon, like the word kita. The first group got up on the first ship, Va'amru, and they said, Im shachachnu sheim elokeinu vanifus kapenu la'elzar. Is it possible that we have forgotten our God? We will extend our hands to foreign gods? We will be taken, young Jewish boys and young Jewish girls, by Vespasian, to fill the Roman brothels? Brothels? V'yishlichu atzman le'yam. The first group jumped overboard. Amda kashnia, the second group got up. Va'amra, and they said, Ki alachna haragnu kol hayom, v'hishlichu atzman liyam. They said, God, for your sake, we have been killed all day. Kapitol mem dalet of Tehillim. They threw themselves into the sea. Amda kash tlishis. The third group got up and they said, Hello, Elokim yachkor zos kihu yodea ta'alub mosleif. Behold, God will investigate this because he knows the secrets of the heart. V'hishlichu atzman liyam. They threw themselves into the sea. Ruach HaKodesh, so vachas ve'omeris. The Almighty's voice, the Shekhinah, the Divine Spirit, calls out and says, Al Eila ani bochia. Over these I cry, this is the Medrash comment on this pasuk. Over these I cry over young boys and young girls who threw themselves into the sea rather than risk being taken to Rome for the purpose of Chilul Hashem, promiscuity. It's a yom hamar v'hanimhar. It says our salvation, a bitter day saturated with bitterness. The day which we remember all calamities, all tragedies. If we don't feel sad today, then when do we feel sad? We don't reflect today, when do we reflect? If we don't take some time from stopping by living the American dream to say, I'm in prison. We're in jail, it's horrible here. Look what has happened to us. Lo aleichem kol ovrei derech habitu ru'um yesh machov kemachovi. What has befallen me should never befall you, says Tzion and Yerushalayim. Is there a pain like my pain? Shavat misos libeinu nehapach le'eval necholeinu. Towards the end of Eicha, Perek Hey, Pasuk Tasvav. The joy in our hearts has ceased. Our dances have turned into mourning. Shavat. What is this word? So it looks a lot like the word Shabbos. That's because it's the same word. What does it mean? How does Rav Soloveitchik explain? What is this pasuk from Eichel saying? Shavat misos libenu. The joy in our hearts has ceased. Our dances have turned into mourning. In the first kina that we recite this morning, kina number 6, first kina recited Tisha B'Av after Shachris, Shavat suru meni. The Paitan says, our joy has ceased. Get away from me. And Rav Soloveitchik in his commentary to the kina, his commentary of the Rav to Tisha B'Av, our sages emphasize the word Shabbat does not mean to rest. We usually translate like it means Shabbos. Shabbos comes as a day of rest. Shabbat means cessation. Shabbat means to cease. But not only does it mean to cease, it has the connotation of suddenness, unexpectedness. Suddenly, something important has changed. This is illustrated by the commentary of the sages. Vayam hashvi'i Shabbat vayinafash. It wasn't just Shabbos. Hashem didn't just stop working. He didn't just rest, kaviyachal. Shabbat, one fraction of a second, God was working. And the next fraction of a second, with suddenness, he stopped working. Shabbos began, and Hashem suddenly ceased, and therefore he rested. Shabbat, suddenly to cease, to rest. What does this have to do with his Yom Churban? Like we say in Eicha, Shabbat misos libenu nehapach le'evo mecholenu. I showed you the pasuk on the screen. Like we say in the first kina that we read this morning, Shabbat, our joy is ceased. Suru meni, get away from me. It wasn't just Churban, says Rav Soloveitchik. It was the suddenness of disaster. Sometimes people realize intuitively or intellectually a disaster will occur. And as a result, when disaster does occur, it's not something new. It's something that was expected. At other times, disaster strikes suddenly. And then psychologically, emotionally, it's even more devastating than an anticipated disaster. Kalir in the Kinos is expressing the thought that the major tragedy of the Churban is not just that the Churban happened, but Shabbat, our joy ceased so suddenly. The people were told the Churban would occur. When Yirmiyahu came and he prophesied about the Churban 18 years before the Churban, nobody wanted to hear. They threw him in jail. They teared up his scroll. They did not believe the warnings. They did not expect it would ever happen. But the people arose in the morning, and lo and behold, contrary to everyone's expectations, the Beit HaMikdash was gone. Yerushalayim was in ruin. The people were in captivity. The realization that the Churban occurred, says the Rav, struck suddenly. It had the emotional and psychological impact, not only of Churban, but Shabbat, a sudden disaster. Even Yirmiyahu the prophet, says the Rav, experienced the suddenness of destruction. The Ribbono Shel Olam and Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Beis told him to go to the city of Anassos to buy a field from his uncle. And when Yirmiyahu left, the temple was standing, Yerushalayim was intact, the Kohanim were performing the service. But when Yirmiyahu returned, the temple was gone. Yirmiyahu realized the temple was gone because on his way back, he did not see the column of smoke rising from the Mizbeach that always miraculously rose straight to the heavens. Yirmiyahu was the prophet of destruction. God told him many times Jerusalem would be destroyed. Many times the Beit HaMikdash would be consumed by flames. He had visions of Churban. He delivered the prophecy of Churban to the people. Even he was surprised. It's human nature to never believe that disaster will strike. It's human nature to believe it will always get better. Shabbat misos libenu. It's not just that the temple was destroyed. It was with a suddenness. It was unexpected. The theme of Shabbat is also reflected, says Rav Soloveitchik, quoting the Gemara Maseches Gittin, in the story recounted by the sages of the city of Tur Malka. Half of the inhabitants of Tur Malka were celebrating, while the other half were in the midst of destruction. And those that were celebrating did not know and could not comprehend what was happening. They believed the Churban would never occur. Inwardly, Shabbat, misos libenu, nehapach le'evo mecholenu. The Jew cried. Of course, after Churban, merchants continue to buy and sell. Scholars are busy studying Torah. Workers are occupied with their labor. But in the midst of our hearts, misos libenu, the joy has ceased. And yet, after the first part of Shir, focusing on tragedy, on mourning, on making sure we frequent the base Ovel, so we are not like the Shota who frequents the house of Leitzanus. We should never think that the prison is the American dream. I don't need any help. Thank you. I have nothing to talk to you about. It's great here. Oy lanu ki chatanu, manomar manedaber. Hello, ki matzan es avon avdecha. But interestingly, at about the halfway point of Eicha, we read Psukim, which take on a whole different theme. And in Perak Gimel, we read, Zos ashiv el libi, al kein ochil. These are recalled to my mind, therefore I have hope. Chaste Hashem ki lo tamnu, ki lo chalu rachamav. The kindness of God does not end. His mercy does not end. Chadashim la bekarim, rab emrasecha. They are new, God's kindness and mercy every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Hashem. Chalki Hashem amar nafshi al kein ochilo. Hashem is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope to him. Tov Hashem the kovav. God is good to those who wait for him. The nefesh tidrashenu, for the soul that seeks him out. Tov yachil v'dumam l'teshuas Hashem. It is good to hope and to be silent for the salvation of God. And if you look at these psukim, which occur in the middle of the Megillah, they reflect a very different theme. This is not the theme of Churban. It's not the theme of the tears on the cheeks of Yerushalayim. It's not the theme of smashing my maidens and my virgin daughters. It's not the themes of mothers cooking their children. It's not the themes of children's tongues cleaving to their palates, begging for food and water, and there is none. This is a very different theme. This is the theme of hope, smack in the middle of the Megillah. This I will take to heart, and therefore I have hope. The kindness of God does not end. His mercy does not end. Every morning it is renewed. How great is God's faithfulness in us. Hashem is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I hope to him. Tov Hashem the Kovav. God is good to those who wait for him, who connect, kav, make a line to him. The nefesh to Dushenu. God is good to the soul who seeks him out, and therefore it is good to wait in silence for the salvation of Hashem. This is a very different theme than what we read before and what we read after. It's a theme of hope, of the mercy of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which does not end, of longing, of waiting, of looking for the salvation of the Almighty. And despite all of our suffering, and all of our pain, and all of our exile, and all of our wandering, and all of our persecution, we never give up on finding Hashem. We never lose faith in his mercy. We never sever our hope for better times. And the Sefer, Rav Asher Weiss, on Amunah and Bitachon, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, he quotes a letter that the Gaon Rav Yaakov Emden wrote in his introduction to his Siddur. Yaakov Emden died in 1776, for your reference, in Germany. And Rav Yaakov Emden penned these words that they were repeated constantly, writes Rav Asher Weiss, by the Klosenberger rabbis, that's all. Rav Yaakov Emden, in the 1700s, wrote, "How can a heretic not be ashamed, or anyone who studies our unique status? We are a nation in exile. We are a lamb scattered amongst the nations. After all that we have suffered for thousands of years, no nation is as persecuted as we are. How numerous are our enemies who have attacked us since earliest days, wishing to destroy us and uproot us because of their hatred and envy. But they were not able to destroy us. They were not able to annihilate us. All those ancient, powerful nations are forgotten." These words were penned in the 1700s. "Their memory has vanished. Their designs have been nullified. Their shadows have passed. And we who cling to Hashem, ba'atam advekim ba'Hashem elokeichem, chayim kulchaim hayom. We who cling to God are alive today. Through the entire long exile, we have not forgotten a single letter or vowel from Torah. And the words of the sages are alive and well. None have fallen by the wayside. The hand of time did not reign over us. What will all the wise philosophers have to say? Is it all a product of mere coincidence? By my life, wrote Rav Yaakov Emden, I declare that in contemplating the wonders of our survival, this miracle is greater in my eyes than all the miracles and wonders that Hashem performed for our forefathers in Egypt, in the wilderness, and even in Eretz Israel. And the longer the exile lasts, the more that miracle is demonstrated, the more we are witness to Hashem's power and his might. In the middle of the Book of Lamentations, we express our hope that God's kindness is eternal. Forever we long for him, we wait for him. Every morning, Chadashim Labakarim Rabba Munasecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam bestows renewed kindness upon us. Sometimes even personally, last night before the Sudam of Sekas, I read out to my family a short excerpt from my grandfather's memoirs, Zichron Levracha. It's called In 7 Camps in 3 Years. And I said, when you sit on the floor and you eat your dry bread and your boiled egg and dip it in the ashes, just think of why we're doing this. Because I said, I know tomorrow, children, they're going to be hungry. And it might be hard to concentrate on why we're mourning, on why we're sitting on the floor. But paradoxically, Tisha B'Av is a day of great pain and great hope. Great pain on the one hand, and great hope, Al Keno Chil, on the other hand. I have hope. Chaste Hashem lo tamnu, ki lo chalu rachamav. I am sure like many of you, I come from 4 Holocaust survivors. By Teva, I shouldn't even be here. How should I be here? 3 of my grandparents were married before the war. Between them, they had 5 daughters. I like to always mention their names in a Tisha B'Av Shir. My grandparents, 3 of them collectively had 5 daughters. Their names were, my paternal grandfather's daughters were Golda, Leah, and Ita. My maternal grandmother's daughter was Rivka Bracha. And my maternal grandfather's daughter was Devorah. She was born Parshas B'Shalach, 1941. There were 5 children out of 1.5 million. Kara alai moed lishbar bachurai. God's appointed time to smash Jewish children is worse than the destruction of the temple. And yet, in the middle of our lament, we express hope in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Zos ashiva libi, I put it into my heart. Al keino chil, I have hope to you, God. Your chesed, your rachamim is eternal. Every morning, boker, chadashim labkarim, rabba munosecha. How great is your faithfulness in us, Hashem. My chelek is with Hashem, says my soul, and I hope to him. God is good to those who wait to connect to the soul who seeks him out. It is good to hope and be silent for the salvation of Hashem. And so embedded in the Book of Lamentations is a message of our survival, is a message of hope, is the title of this shir. The Road to Redemption, Holding Fast to God. In Kinnah number 8, the Paitan says, Edve b'chol leiv lahamtzehu. With a troubled heart I will seek him. Ed'a milin bam lahamtzehu. I will learn the words by which to encourage him. Ed'agro eh. I will anxiously ask, I will worry, adag da'aga, I will worry about my shepherd. Below emtzeiv, but I cannot find him. Ekonein, I will keen. Mi tein yadati v'emtzeiv. Does anybody know how I can reach my shepherd? The Paitan here is talking about Knesset Yisrael's journey to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Soloveitchik says, Ed emi lin bam la'emtzehu. I will learn the words by which to encourage him. Do I have the language to bring God back into my life? And so on Tisha B'Av when we mourn, let us not only contemplate Churban, Galus, the antithesis of the American dream in which we are living. But by left said in that shir, Tisha B'Av is a day of Gehenim. Galus is Gehenim. But we express hope and longing that the Ribbono Shel Olam's kindness and rachamim will never leave us. By Teva, I should not be here. Because I come from 4 Holocaust survivors. So that means by Teva I should not be here. I should not be sitting here giving a shir, passing on the Masorah to my children, Bezal Hashem, the next generation. How could it be? Rabbi Yaakov Emdin wrote in the 1700s that our survival is the greater than any miracle the Ribbono Shel Olam did for Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. In the Midbar, greater than the man, greater than water from a rock, greater than the clouds of glory, is the fact that we are here. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Why? Ki lo tamnu, ki lo chalu rachamav. Because every morning the Ribbono Shel Olam restores his amunah in us. And so I hoped him. I seek him out. And that's what we say in Kina number 8. With a troubled heart, I seek him. I learn the words by which to encourage him. I will anxiously ask, where's my shepherd? But I will not find him. At Konein, I will keen. Would that I knew how to reach him. What is the road to redemption? It's holding fast to God. Rav Soloveitchik says, I will learn the words by which to encourage him. I put it on the screen for you so you could all follow along with me. La'amtsehu. In modern Hebrew, says Rav Soloveitchik, the word la'amets means to adopt a child. Adopt a child. It has the connotation of holding fast to someone. The Paitan is saying that if we are so fortunate to meet God again, we will know the appropriate words to keep him with us. Hashem, we ask you to come back and stay with us forever. Baruch Ata Hashem, Menachem Tzion, Ubone Yerushalayim. Some of you may have davened Mincha already, I myself Tana. Menachem Tzion, Ubone Yerushalayim, return to us. Ki Ata Hashem Ve'esh Yitzata, Ve'esh Ata Asid Livnosa. The next time he reveals himself, Stav, says Rav Soloveitchik, we will not lose him, as we have done in the past. One of the main motifs of the kinos, says the Rav, is a quest to encounter God. Tisha B'Av is not only a day of mourning, but as we are the Chacham who sits in the Beit Eira, like we read in Koheles. We have to contemplate our quest, our search, our hide and seek. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, do we make time for God in our lives? Isn't that a good question? Do we ever stop and ask ourselves? If we're medaktik on brachos and we make sure to lay tefillin, men, and the tzitzis are kosher, and the matzah is shmura, and the eshog is mehudar, and I like Shabbos bizman. But am I living with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is there a meaning? If shchinta begalusa, and Am Yisrael is in galus, so am I together in galus with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or am I living the American dream? Locked in a prison cell, and I'm too foolish, I'm the shote, says Targum on Koheles, to even know what happened. Zocha and my zocha viro'eh, to contemplate what Yerushalayim was like in a time of simcha. Once we find him, says the Rav, let us not repeat our past mistakes. This is commentary to Kinnah number 8. We will not let him go. God will stay with us forever. For centuries, the story of Jewish history has been, the Jewish people found the Ribbono Shel Olam. We lost him each time. The Avos found God many times, but Knesset Yisrael lost him. Each time the Jewish people searched for him, we found him, we lost him, we found him, we lost him. If the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives is really so precious, would we lose him? Would you be so careless with your engagement ring? After the giving of the Torah, we have Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And then we're ready to enter that land of Israel, and we have the episode of the Meraglim. And I don't think it's an accident that the Rav brings these two pieces up, because the sin of the golden calf precipitated the first Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, as per Mishnah Tainis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav. And the episode of the Meraglim precipitated the first Tisha B'Av. God tried many times to keep our company, but with transgression we lose him. In writing this phrase of the Kina, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir had in mind a description in Shir HaShirim of our longing for God. The beloved, the metaphor for the Jewish people, the love story of Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for our love with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Jewish people search for God. They don't find him. And God knocks on the door. Imagine he's the chaplain. And he says, I've come to you, my children. Are you okay? Do you have theological questions for me? Can I make things better for you? Do you want visitation from relatives? Do you want to go back home? Thank you, God, for knocking on the door, but we're living the American dream. Are you sure, he says? Yes, we're sure. We have 3 meals a day. The supermarkets are full. It's wonderful. We have yeshivos. We have batei midrashos. We have Beit Knesset. Who needs Eretz Yisrael? Why do we need to go home? It was never so good. When the Rebbe Shalom knocks on the door, Ani Yashen, I'm sleeping. But the heart of the Jew, Libi Er, is always awake. Kol Dodi Dofeik. The voice of my beloved knocks. The chaplain says, Pischili. God is here. Open up the door. Achosi, terms of endearment, terms of lovers. My sister, Ra'ayasi, my friend, Yonasi, my Dab Tamasi, my pure one. Do you want to open the door? Roshinim Latal. My head is filled with dew. My locks with the drops of night. Can I come in? Open the door. We yearn to see Hashem. He yearns to see us. But sometimes we ignore the knock. And at the very moment that she pines to see God, he knocks at the door, he's ready. But Knesset Yisrael is not ready. And she sighs. Seriously? I'm in the middle of a really good part of the story. You're knocking on my door. Pashatiti et kutunati. I took off my ksones. I already took off my cloak. Eichecha al bashana. I should schlep back with the geula. I should get dressed. I should pack my bags. I should go home with you. You're bothering me. How can I get dressed? Rachatzti et raglai. I took a shower already. I'm ready for bed. The pajamas are on. I did all my lotions. I brushed my teeth. Eichecha atanefne. Atanefem. I should get my feet dirty. I should go on a trip with you. This is the concept of Shir HaShirim, which Kalir adopts in this kina. The Jew has the opportunity so often in life to seize hold of God. And tell me, God never knocked on your door? You never felt spiritually motivated? I hope so. I hope at least once you did. You never felt uplifted? You never felt like your Bonshom was right there? But we lose the opportunity because I just took off my cloak. I just washed my feet. I'm wearing pajamas. I'm ready for bed. Now I should go open the door. Now I should change my life. God often knocks on the door of the Jew, says the Rav, and wants to share his abode. But tragically, the Jew misses the opportunity. He does not have the fortitude to get out of bed and open the door. I didn't sleep last night. I'm so tired. The kids are in yeshiva. I'm so comfortable here. I'm my kahila. I'm a community. Now I should go back. I should get my feet dirty. And by the time I finally arise and open the door, it's too late. The lover is gone. I keep Hashem waiting for too long. He leaves. Maybe someone else wants to let me in. You don't want to let me in? And once he is done, it is difficult. It is a challenge to ask the chaplain to come back to our prison cell. That is why, says the Rav, the exile has lasted for so long. In this phrase in Kinnah number A, Rabbi Elazar Kalir is saying, the next time we find God, it will be different. How dare we? We will not repeat the mistakes of the past. Now, la'am tsehu. Like a parent who adopts a child, we will hold fast forever. When he comes and knocks. We know the methods of repentance. It's not an accident that Av precedes Elul. Elul in the month of Teshuvah. We know Ma'isim Tovim. We know what we need to do to please God. And when we hear the knock on the door, no matter how faint it may be, we will get up. We will soil our feet. We will put back on our robe. Immediately, Shabbat, with suddenness, our pain will end. And once Ribon Shel Olam enters our house, we will never allow him to leave again. Leiv Chachamim Beveis Evel, Leiv Kisilim Beveit Simcha. The heart of the wise person mourns over Churban Beit Mukdesha. The heart of the wise person is atzev al galut beis Yisrael. He is sad over the galus of beis Yisrael. But it is the shote, it's the fool who rejoices with chedva in the house of mockery, who eats, who drinks, who has fine steak, and he never takes it to heart that his brothers are suffering. And the chaplain knocks on the door. Let's be sure you get up and open it. And then perhaps, kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim, zocheh v'ro'eh b'simchasa. Ata takum terachim tzion. Ki es dechanina kiva moed. Isn't it time, Hashem? Instead of the moed l'shpar bachurai, we reattach, reappoint, remake for us on our calendar a moed for the redemption of Tzion and Yerushalayim. And when you put that event on my calendar, Hashem, I'll be ready. I will open the door. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva, chadesh yameinu kekedem. Wish you day besoros tovos, an easy and meaningful rest of the fast, and thank you all for learning with me.